It's good to be in God's house today. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here, be back in God's house among His people. Folks, I see you guys more than I see my own family. And we are part of the family of God. So, my younger brother and my older brother are here today. And it's easy for a family to get kind of disengaged from one another. We did it, and for years we didn't see each other like we should. I would see the family of God and you guys more than I would my own family. But I thank the Lord that He's put them back in our lives. And if you're a part of the family of God, and that song says that, I requested that song, if you don't know by now, that we do say brother and sister. It's good to see Brother Woody back. It just doesn't sound right to me to say, Woody, it's good to see you. To me, that's Brother Woody. He's one of the deacons of this church. He's recently kind of stepped back a little bit, but for 40 years he served as a deacon here. And if you look at him as just Woody, you won't think much of him. But if that's Brother Woody, that's Brother Greg, that's Brother Varun, that's Brother Kenny. It means something whenever you say brother. In the Bible, God put that all through there when we start talking about brethren and sisters. It's hard for me to call my wife Sister Cindy. I know when you guys are referring to me as Miss Cindy or Sister Cindy, I acknowledge the fact that she is a sister in the Lord. She is my sister in Christ. I am actually married to her above 31 years, but she's my sister in Christ, and I appreciate her. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday to my dear wife. For 3 days, I get to boast that she's a couple years older than me. But anyway, I'll catch back up with her just a little bit and narrow that gap. It is good to see every one of you here today. I had about six that I thought were going to be baptized. We only had Miss Jamie stand up. If there's others of you that have approached me wanting to be baptized and now you're kind of getting cold feet or kind of getting a little nervous about, listen, if you've been baptized, say amen. Amen. Listen, you're going to follow the believer's baptism that all the rest of us have already done. And that's in the Bible. Even whenever I'm up there and I raise my little hand in the air and get ready to baptize, I said, we're doing this in obedience. I do baptize this, our brother, in the name of the Father and the Son. But I say, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon this brother's profession of faith in Him, we do baptize. It's in the Bible to repent, be baptized. So just follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You say, well, do I have to do that to go to heaven? No, you don't have to do that to go to heaven. But our Lord was baptized. It says for the remission of sin. But you say, well, He didn't sin. He took the sins of the whole world upon Him. The man that knew no sin became sin, that we might have forgiveness from sin. What a blessing. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4 is where we're going to start off. And let me just say to those of you that knew we were moving and that have had a hand in it, Robbie and Robin and Varun and Jake and Macy and Preston, all those that actually I tapped into to use as a resource, and others of you like Brother Greg and Jody and Danny and this one and that one and Clayton, everybody been saying, can we help you, Pastor? We got moved and we're completely moved, and I appreciate every one of them. Especially Preston. Hey, this young man right here, his dad and mom were working out of town, and I just tapped into him last week because I knew that he was of the unemployed group, and he had a strong back and a weak mind. So I said, Preston, do you want to help me? And for 4 days, we have worked. We didn't just mess around. We worked. I'd look at him, and his poor old shirt would be stuck to his body with sweat. And I think there was one day Cindy fixed us a barbecue chicken sandwiches, and she had me 2 big old barbecue sandwiches, and she had Preston 2, and she had these cheese balls on the side, and man, it was all spread out there. And she said, Mark, do you want another one? Because I mean, we inhaled them. Really, that voracious appetite of a mover. I don't know who invented 2 men in a truck, but God bless them. We were 2 men in a trailer. We had Jake's pull along trailer, but Cindy said, do you want another one? And I said, no, honey, I can't eat anymore. I was already hot. Can't eat a lot when I'm hot. And he had inhaled his 2, and he said, I believe I would. So Cindy fixed him one and put, I think, the rest of the barbecue chicken on there, and that thing was standing about that thick. And he ate that, and I think he was ready for another one in about 20 minutes. But there was a conversation. We had a lot of conversations. When you're with somebody in close proximity for a period of time, you talk about things, and you don't just go into it haphazardly and not say anything. But one of the conversations that we had during the week led to this message. And Preston, I'll give God all the credit. He give you the thought, work that thing around in my heart, and this message was birthed today. Folks, we're a part of the family of God. But how many times have you ever hurt your wife, Brother Kenny? How many times have you ever disappointed her? How many times has she ever disappointed you? Did you ever stop loving her? Or did she ever stop loving you? My friends, has been preached by Brother Chris and others around here as of late. There's nothing that you can do, absolutely nothing that you can do that's going to change God's love for you. I saw a thing on there by Paul Washer on the social media. It said that of all the reasons that I've given God to stop loving me, none have persuaded him differently. Something to that effect. None have changed his mind. Nothing's going to change God from loving you. Now, I'm turning it from the secular of my wife and myself. I disappoint her daily. I know. I say things. We get snappy and snarky at each other. And she does the same thing. We just kind of get in each other's space sometimes. And we just have to apologize and go on down the line. But I want you to know one thing. I've seen also, you ever seen the little guy sitting on the park bench? Tim, his face is like, and it's pouring the rain. But he's holding an umbrella like this over his wife. And it says, even when you're mad, you still got to love her. That's the way God is. Even whenever we disappoint him, he still loves us. He never stops loving us. Whenever we do things that are contrary to his will or his word, he doesn't stop loving us. He loves us in spite of ourselves. Brother Danny, that's just the way it is. And I'm sure that in you and your dear wife's 46 years of marriage, 48 years, I missed two. I'm sorry, honey. Y'all, forgive me. There's times that Danny upset you or said things in the same way back and forth. I mean, it may not be a daily occurrence, but you still got that deep, profound love for one another. You say, well, what was the conversation between Preston and yourself? The conversation, namely, was this, that we're a part of a family. How did you get into the family? I'll ask you that. Tam, how did you get into the family? I want you to see this. I was over there yesterday, and this is all playing right in. I'll read our scripture in a minute. Just work with me and bear with me. I was over there visiting Brother Jerry Testerman yesterday. And nurse after nurse after nurse, and CNA after caregiver came in, and they were checking blood pressures, and they were doing this, and they were doing that. But one thing was evident to me. Every one of them were helping Brother Jerry. They were working, Brother Dean. They were working to help him. And the first night after his surgery, when Cindy and I were over there, his temperature was normal. He didn't have a fever, but he had a cold, wet washcloth laying across the head. He said he was burning up. It's those caregivers that come in that are bringing all those instruments and all that medicine and all the accompaniments of medical technology to help him feel better. And they do help him to feel better. Kayla, they help that man to feel better. But as much as they helped him, they were not part of that body. That body belongs to Jerry Testerman. Even though they're helping him, and even though they're a part of what's going on, they weren't part of the body of Christ, or they weren't part of the body of Jerry. They're helping him, and I'm afraid that sometimes many of you are helping the cause of Christ. You're all around here. You're putting the cold washcloth on that needs one. But I'm afraid that you're, even though you're helping the body, you're cooking the meals, you're laboring in the Sunday school, or you're laboring in the Bible school, and you're all about the body, but you're not part of the body. That scares me. It scares me to think that you could be so labor intensive toward helping something that is so great as this great big family, but you not be a part of it. That bothers me, Tam. It bothers me that you could, Chris, you could go out of your way to help work and preach and do. And as Grant would say, if he was here, open the Sunday school and lead the youth choirs, Brother Joey did over and over, but still not be a part of this great big family. Brother Joe, I know you haven't joined this family yet by way of moving your letter here. And you pray about that. You're a preacher and you're a young man. You got a young family and you're the head of that household. You need to be about where God wants you to be. But brother, you're still part of the bigger family. You might not be a part of the Calvary family as Brother Ryan is, but you're still part of the family of God. Now I ask you this question. How did you get into the body? How did you get into this family? How did you get into this position? The conversation between Preston and myself, it was a very short conversation. It probably only lasted about 2 minutes, but it had a profound impact on this preacher. He come from an 18-year-old young man that I believe God's got his hand on. But he looked at me, and we were talking in that vehicle, and he just starts talking about, how did you get into the family? And we got to talking about that, Brother Tim. And whenever it come up, it was this way. There's three ways to get into the family. But each one of them are uniquely different to one of the three attributes of the Godhead. And you'll see this in a minute. It blew me away when Preston was talking about this. I'm like, man, this is deep. This is good. It helps me to chew on it. First and foremost, how do you get in to the body? Or how do you get into the family? I just heard a birth over here. And what is attributable to the birth? Birth is attributable by the very moving of the Holy Spirit of God. As the Holy Spirit of God moves on us, Brother Woody, and through conviction, we get birthed in through that womb of grace. But bless God, I don't care if you're here and you have been adopted in the legalities of adoption. If you are adopted, Brother John, you also have the same, absolute same legal benefits of that one which got birthed in. We were adopted by God the Father. Why? Because the wild olive branch, being the Jewish nation, were cut off. And it tells us that in the book of Romans. Brother Woody, they got cut off. And as they got cut off, we, the Gentiles, we, Brother Kenny, that didn't deserve mercy, that didn't deserve anything. We deserved hell. But bless God, we got grafted in. And by the adoption of sons, according to the book of Romans in chapter number 8, we got adopted in, Brother Woody. So you get in by birth or you get in by adoption. But bless God, a dried up Baptist could shout on this next one. The one's attributable to God, that being the adoption. The birth is attributable to the Holy Spirit, Brother John. But bless God, we are betrothed and we're going to get in by marriage. Bless God, I'm a part of her family. And by marriage, she married into the Hall family. She even took my name, bless God. And when she took my name, you know what that signifies? She said, I want to be a part of that family. And bless God, Brother Kenny, she's a part of the Hall family. She's been a Hall a whole lot longer than she ever was a church. She grew up in the church household. But when she turned 20 years old, guess what? Bless God, she got birthed in to the family of God at the age of 11. Bless God, she got adopted by God whenever he adopted that youngin'. But bless God, she married into the Hall family at the age. And one day, Brother Woody, we're getting out of here. And bless God, we're going to stand before God and there's going to be a marriage supper.
Amen.
Each one's attributable to a different attribute, a different part of the Godhead. By the Son, the Holy Spirit, or God Almighty. Brother, we're in this family. And you're not getting out. Could you unbirth yourself? Anybody here? Is everybody here born? Raise your hand if you're born. Well, we got some that ain't even here. Let's do this. If you've ever been born, say amen.
Amen.
We've all been born. We're here in this robe. We're in this flesh. Could you re-enter your mother's womb and be unborn? Let's put the rest aside and put that thing aside that you're not eternally secure in Christ Jesus. Brother Chris was hitting it all over the place the other night when he was talking about no man can pluck him from my Father's hand. We believe in eternal security for the believer. You cannot unbirth yourself.
Amen.
Okay? You can't do that.
Right.
Hebrews chapter number 4. Since we're a part of this family, I want to preach just a little while on let us. Just two little words, let us. Let us as a body go on for the furtherance of the gospel. Let us as a family love one another just a little more uniquely, a little bit more intimately. Brother Kenny, let us look after our widows just a little bit more closely. Let us pray earnestly for one another just a little bit more earnestly. Let us look at each other rather than with a curious eye wondering what's he up to or what's she up to. Let's quit wondering so much and start laboring in the Word of God and looking at Brother Tam as what I just said, Brother Tam, or Miss Mary as Sister Mary or Miss Mary. Respect people for what they are because we're all part of this same family. Stand all over the house of God. We will read our scriptures. With Brother Scott scaling back the singing a little bit, I had a full 40 minutes before 12 o'clock. I don't know what the ladies down there, there's probably a dozen down there that's going to make sure we have a meal. So if you're here today and you don't normally go to the fellowship meals, come down there. Honestly, does anybody here not like to eat? Every one of us love to eat. I do. I'm not being ashamed or bashful, but I love to eat. And there comes Mara speaking to people like to eat. But come down, it's part of the homecoming. You know what we could call that thing, Brother Tim, instead of a homecoming? After this message, though, we could call it a family reunion. That's basically what we're getting ready to have, a big old family reunion. Cindy thinks it's a birthday party, but we'll keep it on the level here. It's actually not a birthday party. It's actually a homecoming or a big old family reunion. We're going to start out the reading in Hebrews chapter number 4. Let me start out in verse number 3. When you see the word let or let's, most times it's a transitive verb. It's getting ready to take you somewhere. And a lot of times it's predicated on something that took place before. This is a great church. Therefore, let us support it. This is a great body of believers. Therefore, let us labor together. Let us is going to be the theme of this. Let us. Brother John, let us do something great for God. We've got all the things. Let us move forward in that. God has prospered us. Let us move forward in that prospering. So here we are. We're going to back up a little bit. Chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, and this all, it's all about Christ. You'd have to go, let's get verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. So this whole message is all about him, okay? This is a hymn book. You thought it was read back, was a hymn book. This is your hymn book. It's all about him, okay? So here it is. It said, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. We pick up the reading in verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through your deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And here starts the process of let us. Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You got to remember, God walked with them. God talked with them. God showed up to them. How did we get birthed in? We got birthed into the family by grace through faith. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we haven't seen Christ, but yet I believe him. And through faith, I'm going to trust that we're going to make it. It goes on. I'm going to read just a few more verses. I'll let you be seated. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. In other words, you're not going to get into this family by unbelief. You must be birthed into the family of God by the way of the Holy Spirit of God. You're birthed in by the way of the Holy Spirit of God. God's going to take you by the adoption. Let's just go back and read that verse of Scripture. I'll read it right here for you in the book of in the book of Romans, it says, verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So here we are. Some entered not in because of unbelief. We go down in verse number 11, and then I'm going to start preaching here. The Bible says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Brother Preston, with God as the inspiration, I'm going to ask you to, using you for this message, I'm going to ask you to bless the Scripture and bless this message today, young man. As you're being seated even now, there's not a single one of us in here at some point in time, our faith got shaken. Our faith got weakened. Our faith was, it was put to the test. But let me tell you something that's not testable and stands at the end of it wasn't really there to start with. Brother, my faith is put to the test quite often. And as more I have to exercise my faith, the same as exercising anything else, Brother Woody, it gets greater and greater. But as we move out of that position of where the children of Israel were in bondage and move forward, Brother, they labored. They had to work under the taskmaster's rule. And I believe the Lord put this in our scripture, Brother Greg, to let us know that there's a rest. You're going to labor in this life. Brother Tam, this life is full of labor-intensive moments and things that go on. But it starts out in chapter number 4, says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So what are you talking about there, preacher? I would go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, and introduce you to verse number 7. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it starts out there. It says, let us therefore fear. You want to be a part of this family. You want to be a part of the family of God. Bless God, you need to start fearing God. And I mean fear him with a godly, holy reverence, knowing that he, above all things, is holy. Let God be holy. Let us be every man a liar, but God is holy, Brother Danny, and he's got that perfect rest, and we ought to labor. Let us labor and let us strive. Let us try our best, Brother John, as a part of the family of God, to please him. And above all, if we please God, my friends, if I please God as this pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, Brother Greg, I promise you this, I will not please all of y'all, but if I'm pleasing God, then this rest of this thing is going to be so fitly framed together. You'll either have to get in or get out. You'll either have to get real close to the stove and get warmed up. Or as it's been said, if you can't stand the heat, you'll get out of the kitchen. And let me tell you, God's got his hand on this place. Let us therefore labor together, Brother Woody. Let us each one come together in holiness, Brother John. That's what it's all been about. It's not about numbers. It's about God's holiness. Therefore, let us go into that rest. I need a rest right now. I'd like to lay down and sleep for about 6 months, but there's no room to rest from these labors down here. Our rest will be over there, Brother Kippy. When everything's said and done, we'll enter into that rest. So the Bible says here, and I'm going to go right through the book of Romans, book of Hebrews. Don't turn away from it. You just stay right in there because we're going chapter 4 and we're going forward. I hit the first one, therefore, let us therefore fear. If you don't fear God, you will not respect God. If you do not fear God, you will not respect his house. If you do not fear God, you will not respect his man, whether he be in a pastor or a deacon. If you don't fear God, you won't respect his word, and therefore it'll become naught unto you. It'll mean nothing unto you. And brother, when it says don't do this or don't do that, you said the Bible don't say don't do that. Okay, thou shalt not. When it says thou shalt not, you'll find yourself doing it in spite of what the word of God said because you don't respect it. Therefore, let us fear God. We ought to do that anyway. If he saved us, we ought to fear him. Why? Because he can destroy both body and soul in a place called hell. We ought to fear him. Man can take this life, but they can't take my soul. Man can do a lot of things to this body, but they can't take my soul. That's in God's good keep. I'm part of the family of God. So it says, let us therefore fear. Lest the promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You do not have to come short of what God's got for us on the other side. You don't have to come short of that. Verse number 11 then, if you were to catch up, verses number 8, 9, and 10 equal number 11. It said, for if Jesus had given them a rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then it says, therefore let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let me tell you, how do you get saved by God's grace? How did you get into the family? But God, I got birthed in. What happened? The Holy Spirit come by and pricked my heart and drew me into that family. It was up to me to say, God, it's me. It's time for me to be birthed out of that womb of grace right into the family of God. The Bible says there in verse number 11, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom you have to do. Let me tell you, God is all powerful, all knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipotent. He's everything, Brother Joe. We just got to strive to enter in. We got to labor therefore. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. And don't do it with unbelief in your heart. I'll use Jerry again. Brother Jerry believed that surgery was going to be a success. He had total confidence that thing was going to be a success. I don't understand modern medicine, how they can do that. But in all early signs, it was a success. You say, well, he had confidence in that. He believed in that. Brother, if I go to hell, I'll go to hell believing in the only begotten of the Father. I'll go to hell believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I'll go to hell. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Brother Woody, I'm going to go to hell believing in Jesus. If I go to hell, I'm going believing in him. But I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Why? Because I was birthed into the very family of God. I stopped right short of another, let us. You keep on down through there. The Bible said that it started out. Go back to 3:1 where I read. The Bible said, wherefore, holy brother, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 14:4. It says, therefore, Seeing then that we have a great high priest, who's it referring to? It's referring to Jesus Christ, because I just read it in 3:1. He said, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fashion of our profession. You said, what? Let us hold fast. Let us be steadfast, unmovable, always working and always abounding in the work of the Lord, so as much as we know that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's that say? It said, let us hold fast. Look what it said. Let us hold fast to profession, for we have not an high priest. Let me tell you, we don't have some wimpy high priest. We don't have some failed or some flawed character that would go in, Brother Woody. When he went into the Holy of Holies, he went in as the high priest of high priests. He's coming back one day as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's going to do that, Brother Kenny. But we just need to hang on to the profession of faith in him. Don't waver from it. Don't believe another. If a man believeth, if any man come and preaches another Jesus unto you or preaches another gospel, don't believe him, Brother John. Hang on to what you've been told as of old, because that's the good part. It says, we have not an high priest. It said, let us, in verse number 14, hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are. And then look what we have whenever we hold fast to that profession. What's the next three words of that next verse? Somebody read it with me. Number 16. First three words. We're talking about let us, being in the family. What do you do? Since we have that high priest, what happens now? Whenever I say, Macy said, Daddy, can I do this or let me do that? When she's saying, let me, what's she saying? She said, I'm asking for granted permission. Brother Woody, because we have an high priest, what happens in the next verse? It says, let us therefore. They were just granted permission to do what? Come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? That they might have to help and find, obtain mercy and find grace to help in their time of need. I need to use somebody's youngin. Now you, Gunner. Come here, Gunner. Does Gunner come to me whenever he has a need? You should and could. But you generally go to whoever you live with, right? I need this or I need that, right? He's a volunteer, ain't he? Jake, you go to Reggie. You go to Miss Kathy. After October, you can come to me. Why? Because you're part of my family. Macy comes to me. Brian and Kayla should come to you. Your children should come to you. All three of them. Then what gives us the permission to go to God? Because we're part of that family. Look what it says. Brother John, because of the fact that we have that high priest that I just read about, we get to go boldly into his presence. Jump fast forward just a minute. I just got this verse in my head. Flip over to chapter number 10. I don't mean to go ahead that much, but we're right there at it. And God's saying go, so we're going to go. The Bible says in chapter number 4, verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, let us pass into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted such as we are. And verse number 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Chapter number 10. Look what it says then in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. There's those two words again. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here's those two words again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Here it is again. And let us consider one another to provoke unto other love, unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying let us come together, forsaking not. Let us, brother, because we are part of the family of God, go to him in prayer with boldness. let us love one another. Amen. Bible talks about, and we heard a message here Wednesday night about being somebody in his body by Brother Zach Pope. If you're here, you know what I'm talking about. Being somebody in his body. That's part about being in the family of God. Brother Woody, how'd you get in? Brother Woody, I got born into this family. But whether you got adopted in, being the Jewish nation, brother, there's some of them getting adopted in. Brother Tam, there's going to be some Orthodox Jews that are going to believe that Christ was, the Messianic Jews are going to believe that Christ was the Messiah. Some are still Orthodox, still looking for a Messiah. But they're going to get adopted in. And you know what? The adopted child has the same rights as a natural born child. I'm glad for that. You say, well, how else are we going to go back to the marriage thing? Are you going to be there? Bible said that there was a man made a great marriage supper. He said, go out and get some people and bring them in here. Brother Woody, what happened? House wasn't full. Aren't you glad that there's going to be a marriage supper? Aren't you glad that the bride is going to be given and presented to the son? Amen. The word Hadar, being that bride chamber, he's going to get yours done one day. When he does and he gets mine done, Brother Stevie's going to come and get us. Amen. And we get to go live eternally with him. Amen. As a part of the bride of Christ. I've never been a bride before, but I think I'd be a pretty one. I'm sure I would be. I'd make a good looking bride. When I come down the aisle, listen, I'm wearing a black shirt now, but Robbie, it's not going to look like I changed oil in my robe of white. Because he's not going to present anything. He's not going to present anything to his son that's flawed, and He's not going to give his son something that looked like it come out from under a grease rack or come out of a coal mine. Then what? Yeah, what is the... Varun's already going down that road. How are we going to get there? The righteousness of the saints is what? It's the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us. Why? Because our righteousness is not holy before God. It's filthy. It's nasty. Brother Greg, let us, over and over and over, Preston, let us strive to enter into that. I got just a couple more. We're going to close. We're going to go down here and eat. I'm going back into the book of Hebrews. Go to chapter number 13. Let's start out in 12. Go back. You're on your way over there. Hebrews chapter number 12. We'll go down to verses number 25 through 27. See ye that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. Go back and read the middle part of that again. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We already read that verse on fear. I've already spoke on grace. The Bible says then that we can move into that grace. Let us have grace. Go down in chapter number 13. Two or three places in here, we're going to go home. Chapter number 13. Bible says in verse number 7, remember them that have the rule over you and have spoken unto you by the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned within the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Listen at this. Let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, what's those two words again? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Brother Scott, come, and Miss Macy, come over here. The writer of the book of Hebrews says we have no continuing city, but we seek one. I'll tell y'all a little story. Y'all know, everybody here probably knows that we just moved. The first few trips out of that old house, you know what happens? You start thinking, did we mess up? Did we do something we shouldn't have? Have you ever moved? You've been down here for what, 30 years or more? You wait till you move. You're moving up. Man, the stuff. Ryan, I felt like I was going from my home to a strange land. Everything about it was foreign to me. Tam, I'm taking boxes. I'm like, what are we doing? It felt really weird. I'm taking stuff in, and I'm just setting boxes down. And I go back, and we go get another load. And every time I pulled in over there, man, my heart was about right here. I'm like, what are we doing? Brother Tam, it wasn't long. We had more of our stuff over there than we did over there. And it wasn't just the stuff. Miss Cindy had started working around. She started putting pictures of the girls on the mantle. She started putting the little things around that make our house a home. And brother, toward the back end of this move, I couldn't hardly go back to that old house. as much as I didn't want to leave that old place to start with, I didn't want to go back over there. It's because I'm like, now I'm, Preston, you remember how it was? We were looking for somewhere. We're going to the landfill. We're going to Walmart. We're going to Chick-fil-A. We're going to Lowe's. We didn't want to go back to the old house. I did not want to go back over there. Why? Because after all those years, it was no longer home. And you know why it was no longer home? Because home is where your heart is. And my heart was over there because that's where Miss Cindy's at. That's where all our chilled pictures and stuff's at. You said, what are you bringing all that up for? Because the closer I get to home, you'll get this in a minute. The closer I get to heaven, the older I get and the more that I get closer there, Brother Woody, I used to hear them old people talk about how they get a little bit homesick. I didn't understand that. Brother Potts, being a young man, I just didn't understand getting homesick for heaven. How do you get homesick for a place you've never been before? But Brother Kenny, it's because of what's over there. That's where your mama's at. That's where some of your daddy's at. That's where everything that's preceded you has gone. And then you start to realize, West God, we are going to move again. Just as Brother Kenny said, we have no continuing city here. Things pass away. Times change. Everything changes. I went into work one day, and by the end of that day, I had a Route 1 carrier. And then at the end of the day, I don't have a Route 1 carrier anymore. Why? Because she got hit and killed head on the route. The next morning, everything changed. Everything changed. We have no continuing city here. The Bible says, therefore, let us, Brother Woody, strive to get into the right one. Go to the right place. Go to the straight place. Go to the way that's called straight. Go to heaven, my friend. That path is narrow and it's there, Brother John. And you can go there because you're a part of this great big family of God. By birth, by adoption, or by marriage, you're getting in, brother. You're getting in three for one, a thrice holy way to get into heaven. And they're all attributable one to the other because the Father is the Son is the Father, and they bless God both. Send us the Holy Spirit as we stand all over the house today.